Confessions of a Trainwreck. 30, flirty, and surviving.
It's easy to speak out about the way I live, but it's a 24-carat dream. No supermodel in my dirty jeans, but in my 24-inch heels.
Commandment number 171. Thou shalt remember to never judge a situation that you've never been in. When it comes to relationships, one of the things I find so wildly fascinating about them is how different they all are. Even just thinking back on your own relationship history is true testament to the fact that there's no one-size-fits-all rule when it comes to navigating a successful relationship. As we experience more of life and in turn grow and evolve, so too do our values and needs in a partner, which is all just part of the ebb and flow of life. And no one knows this better than Bianca Iflamovsky, who navigated her way through a marriage and a marriage breakdown and is now in a happy and loving open relationship. If you tuned in last week, you would have caught part one of our chat, where we delved into alcohol and sobriety. And this week, I'm even more excited to bring you part two, where we chat about her marriage breakdown and what led her to begin an open relationship. Again, I know I said it last week, but Bianca is one of the most refreshing people to talk to, and every single time I chat to her, I honestly leave feeling so energized and so positive, and today, I promise, is no exception. Bianca is so honest and so generous with what she shares, and I really hope that you love this conversation as much as I did. I think the next thing I want to talk to you about is relationships, because that is another big thing that has changed with you.
Oh my God.
In a massive way. So 2 years ago, last time I saw you, you were married. Now you are not.
Now I've just filled out the divorce papers. Like, we've got a court date.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going real. Ahead. Yeah, it's real.
Oh my gosh. But you are in a relationship. Yes. An open relationship. So I listened to your podcast that you did on Life Uncut, and it was a phenomenal episode. Like, a phenomenal episode.
You.
It was so interesting. And I feel like, do you watch that show, You Can't Ask That? Yes.
Yes.
Love that show. I love that show. And I would highly recommend for everybody to watch it. I watched every single episode, and it is so insightful and so enlightening for people to ask things that they would never usually have the guts to ask someone to their face. But I feel like you are such an open book, and you are such like an advocate for like honesty and stuff. So I kind of wanted to have a chat to you about that.
Please do. Okay. Please do. Yeah. It's funny because I got the idea of polyamory. Oh, well, open relationships from the polyamory episode of You Can't Ask That. Yeah. I remember watching it and being like, okay, these people have it fucking figured out. And I remember just being like, but I could never do it because I'm too jealous.
That's what I think about myself.
Me. Yeah.
Like, I'm such a jealous person that I think I could do it. Okay. So rewind. When you watched this episode, were you in your marriage still?
Oh, yeah, it was years before I had even gotten sober. It was so long ago. And I remember watching it and being like, oh, that sounds good. Like, the benefits of getting to meet different people and having that freedom. I was like, that, you're selling it to me, babe. But I, in the back of my head, was just like, I get too jealous. Could not do it. You have to be some sort of non-jealous person. So I never thought I could do it. And it wasn't until my marriage started falling to shit that I was sort of like, well, maybe we could try it, which I just want to say, big disclaimer, do not do that.
Like, while you're married.
No. Don't do it to save a relationship. If the relationship is on its way out and you both are like, no, maybe we could just like save it by being in an open relationship. No. It's not going to work. You need to have such a solid foundation, and it requires so much love and care and attention to the other person. And if you don't have that, the second you sleep with someone else, it's going to turn to shit, which is exactly what happened in my relationship.
So had you or your husband at the time been in an open relationship before? Had you cheated or been cheated on before?
I'd been cheated on before. He'd been cheated on before. You know, I think the reason I wanted to do it is, oh, this sounds so awful, but I think because I did kind of think, like, we had broken up and then we'd gotten back together, and I was sort of like, I don't think I particularly care as much about this relationship anymore, and that if he was, because I guess the biggest fear is they're going to meet someone better than me and leave me. I didn't really care. I was sort of like, if he met someone better, he'd be taken off my hands. So like, fine, go and do it. Because I kind of thought it would help me learn how to do it, but absolutely not, because it just is not the way to do it. Like, you have to be really solid to do it.
So did you both make the decision then that you would start seeing other people and stay together?
I floated the idea to him because I was just like, I kind of thought I could outsource sex as well. I was sort of like, you know, we didn't really have great sexual chemistry ever. We were really, in hindsight, I look back on it and he said the same thing, that we were really just good mates. And so I was sort of like, oh, maybe you could just like sleep with other people and then that would take that job off my task, off my hands. Which is such
not a way you should be thinking about your partner.
Not a great relationship to be in. And at first he was quite upset about it, I think, because he was like, oh, no, like that sounds awful. Do you not love me? And I was like, no, I just think it would be the way to go. And then he started doing research on it and he was like, oh, yeah, I think this could work. I think I'd be into it. So we sort of decided to do it. But then he was dating people and it was fine for him to date people. But yeah, then when I started dating people, it was sort of not so fine. And that is massively my fault, because I was not supporting him through me dating other people as much as I should have. So when your partner is dating someone else, you require so much support because you need that reassurance yourself. And if your partner's not giving it to you, you'll just go fucking crazy. So yeah, I definitely was not a good primary partner.
And at that time, how much would you tell each other about the people that you were seeing, what you were doing, where you were going?
Well, we weren't doing it for that long, but yeah, we'd tell each other everything. Yeah. And then it just turned to shit and I met the guy I started dating that destroyed my marriage is the guy I'm still with.
Oh my God, everything happens for a reason.
So, yeah, 100%, right? Like, so yeah, it's been an interesting road. Yeah, I feel, there's a lot of drama. There was a lot of drama, but yeah, no, it's, I'm glad to be in an open relationship. Because I do like the freedom, but yeah, I've had to learn because I'd done it the first time, not so great. And then I've had to learn with my new partner how to do it the right way because I don't want to fuck this relationship up and I actually care about it. So yeah, it's a learning process and it's fucking hard and I'm not going to say it's easy because it isn't.
Had he or has he been in an open relationship before? No. So it was new to both of you.
No. Yeah. He hadn't even been in a relationship for like 10 years. He like hadn't even met anyone. And then he meets this married chick in an open marriage. Like, I don't know what he was thinking, to be honest, jumping into a relationship with me and then being like, yeah, let's try this non-monogamy thing. Like, bless him. He was really keen. Bloody love him. But like, honestly, I don't know how he was like, yeah, that'll be good. But yeah, it's worked out okay.
Amazing. I think probably one of the questions that you would get asked a lot is, what are the rules of an open relationship? Because I feel like, again, some people have this preconceived idea that you can just go out and bang whoever you want, whenever you want, not come home, just disappear, have swingers parties, like the whole thing. But I'm sure there is a criteria of quite like strict rules that you have in place out of respect for each other as well.
I mean, it's not strict. I mean, yeah, it's, you want to have less rules, I think, because you don't want to feel like, when we first started making rules, they were very fear-based, as in like, oh, you've got to text me at the end of every day and no one can sleep over and like, you know, just really trying to protect yourself from being or feeling left out or feeling hurt. And then the more we got into it, the more we realized that those rules were really just fear-based and not really helpful. Like, it would actually feel frustrating if you end a date and then don't text your partner immediately because you got fucking shit to do and then they get angry and you've broken a rule and just frustrating. You just sort of have to trust that like he loves me and everything is okay. So we had like 20 rules when we first started and now we've gotten it down to I think 5, and basically you set boundaries. And every relationship will be different. Every single person will have a different idea, and every partner, you know, if your partner says to you, I want this boundary, you hear them out and you can be like, yes, or I could do this instead. But our rules are like, no sleeping with each other's friends.
Good one.
Because like, yeah.
You'd be surprised how often that actually happens in everyday life. Like not your partner, but like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I live in Brisbane. It's quite a small place. Everyone grew up in the same area. Everyone knows everyone somehow. You start dating someone new and you introduce them to your friends and they're like, oh, yes, I know him.
Ah, yeah, very well, we could say. No, yeah, this is sort of like if he was hanging out with one of my friends, no sleeping with her, like no hooking up with her. Just like don't do that. Yeah, exactly. Another rule is we have to tell each other about every date or interaction with another person. Another rule is I should know these off the top of my head. I really should know them. If we're out together, we're together and we're not, he can't hit on people right in front of me and go home with a girl that night. Like if he's going to a something with me or he's with me, mm-hmm. he's with me. Safe mm-hmm. sex, of course. And I think that's it. I hope he's not listening to this and being like, you forgot this really important rule. But I think that's about it because everything else sort of
works.
Just happens. Yeah. People always ask, are they allowed to see the same person? Like that is a real big question. Like, can you see the same person? And that is fine because it is. And it's difficult to find good sex. So if you find it, hold on to it. Go for it. That's fine. So
it's very hard to find.
It really is. I've struggled for a long time. So yeah.
Have either of you had to deal with jealousy at any point? Because I feel like that again is something that like the thought sometimes of, I mean, I don't have it in my relationship now, but I had it very badly in past relationships. I just would see green.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I used to get so jealous all the time. I still do. Absolutely. Like I definitely deal with it. In fact, I hate jealousy, but you have to understand that it's nothing to be ashamed of to be jealous. So if you're jealous, you just say like, I'm feeling jealous. Like when we first started doing it, I was like, no, I've got no insecurities. I'm totally chill. And then I would make myself sick with how jealous I was. And I would get angry at him because I'm like, you're not supporting me enough. But he didn't realize that I was experiencing jealousy because I wasn't saying anything. So important that you speak up and be like, I need reassurance or I'm feeling insecure.
I mean, I guess that's the same for every part of a relationship. If you're stewing about them not pulling their weight with the chores and you don't say anything, how are they going to know that that's how you're feeling?
100%. Yeah, particularly if they aren't doing the chores and you ask them, then fucking listen up because the amount of times.
As per my last request.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, I definitely deal with jealousy. There is this like wanky, oh, I don't want to say wanky. There is a term in the polyamory community called compersion, which is a kind of a made up term, but it's about experiencing joy in your partner's pleasure and happiness. And the way that they talk about it is they're like, oh, if your partner got a promotion at work, so like nothing to do with a sexual partner. If your partner got a promotion at work, you would feel happy for them. And because you're like, I'm proud of you and you're doing a good job and I'm happy that you're doing this, blah, blah, blah. And it's sort of the same thing in an open relationship. Like I actually do get upset if Tig has a bad date because I'm like, oh, that must be a shame for him or whatever. But if he has a date with a girl and it goes really well and he feels good, I do feel happy for him because I'm like, well – If I have to deal with jealousy regardless, because I'm probably going to feel some jealousy over the fact of him going on a date with someone or sleeping with someone, like that's kind of unavoidable. But if I'm going to feel it, I want it to be fucking worth it. So I'm glad he had a good time as opposed to just like a shit time. And yeah, you sort of just learn to deal with it, but it's not easy. Again,
I can imagine it would be.
It's not easy. Yeah. But the thing that I always try to point out to people is that when I said, oh, I get too jealous when I first watched the polyamory episode, I was in a very monogamous marriage with a husband that I knew would never cheat on me. But I still got jealous in those situations. So monogamy doesn't equal no jealousy. You can still feel jealousy in a monogamous relationship. And I think it's just the way that you deal with and handle jealousy that is what changes it. And in a monogamous relationship, you probably don't raise issues of jealousy. Because if you got jealous watching your boyfriend just chatting to a work colleague that was like a hot chick, you might get jealous. But if you say to him, I was feeling a lot of jealousy watching that, it's sort of accusatory. It's like, oh, you don't trust me? And instead of hearing you and being like, oh, I'm sorry that you felt that way, it is this, it might spark an argument. And then you all of a sudden feel bad for raising your voice or saying anything in the first place. Whereas in a non-monogamous relationship, I'll be like, I am feeling jealous. And my boyfriend will be like, yep, probably because I just slept with someone. Yeah. So let me console you on that. And it's completely understandable. So yeah, I think that it's just dealt with differently.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the time jealousy is just masked insecurity. And I feel like if you're jealous about your partner speaking to someone else, it's probably more of a reflection on how you're feeling rather than like whatever it is that they're doing that's making you feel like that.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, I only just figured out. Like I have been dating Tiger for a year and a half now, and we've been open the whole time, and I've only just realized that, like, oh shit, the reason I get jealous is because I have all these insecurities about myself because I put all of my worth in him being with me, and the fear of him being taken away from me would mean I feel like I have no value and I feel like shit. And it's literally just been a matter of like working on myself, loving myself. And then I sort of am like totally chill on him sleeping with other people because I'm like, the worst, absolute worst thing that could happen would be he leaves me and I could handle that. Like, I don't want it to happen, but I can handle it. So off you go.
Is part of the reason that you're in an open relationship because you don't think you can necessarily get everything you need from one person? Because I feel like that is something that I say to Damon sometimes, and not because he's not giving me everything I need, because he definitely is. I just often say to him sometimes, like I see my girlfriends who stop hanging out with their friends when they get a new partner, and they, you know, those people who have very close circles and it's just them and their partner. And then if they break up, their world is gone, but you need girlfriends to have that girl chat that you can't have with your partner. You need everybody in your life. You need for a reason, because I don't think you can get everything that you need from one person.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I don't feel like anything is lacking in my partner, but I don't feel like I'm getting it. To be honest, it's got nothing to do with him. Well, no. It's more about what I get from myself. So there's a few things. When I'm in a monogamous relationship, it does a disservice to me, because if I see someone that is attractive and I'm like, oh, I find them attractive, I immediately shame myself for thinking that, because I'm like, you should only have eyes for your partner. Mm. You're a terrible person. So I would just sort of decide to like shut down my sexuality, because I'm like, I just got to have my blinders on because I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to feel bad for finding other people attractive. And then what happens is it actually like closes off of, like, your sexuality is such a precious part of yourself, and I would just be like shutting it down constantly because I felt like I had to be so committed to my partner I couldn't even find someone else attractive. And also I really like flirting with people, and I really like making out with people at parties, and I like going out and looking hot and maybe running into someone and maybe going home with them. Like, I like that opportunity.
Oh, there is nothing like that feeling, is there?
Oh, right. It's such a good feeling. And that's the thing with when people do get in a relationship and then they stop going out as much, it's because – they are like, well, what's the point? I can't hook up with anyone. Oh, that's the only reason I was going out. It's like, what's the point? And I don't want to close that window for myself. I like doing it. And it's really been great for me, because I used to struggle so much with my sex life and my sexual identity. And being in a relationship where I'm having the best sex of my life and my boyfriend is being supportive of me going to sleep with other people. And if I'm like, oh, I don't know about this date, I don't think I could do it, he's like, yes, you can. You got this. I feel amazing, and I've been able to like reach sexual peaks that I've never reached before in my life because I've got this really supportive person. So it's not so much about, oh, I'm not getting what I need from him. It's just the doors it has opened for me being in this relationship and having that opportunity. Yeah, I couldn't get that from him. Like, I'm not going to be one of those couples that goes to a bar to experience that and is like, oh, let's pretend we don't know each other and you can hit on me. Like, I'm not role-playing at a bar. Like, I'll meet you downstairs at the hotel lobby. Leave your hotel key. Like, I see that that is a thing. It's a trope used in film all
it's
the time.
Awful.
But I just don't think
awful.
It, I don't think it hits the
and
same.
Damon, if you're listening to this, don't you ever ask me to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be fucked by a stranger at a bar, sure, but not my partner. I'm not doing that. So, yeah, I don't know. It's nice having that option. It's really nice having that option.
Has everyone in your life been supportive of it, like your mum and your friends? No.
No, not at all. My mum has been, 100%. I remember I called her really nervous to tell her that I was going to be in an open marriage, and I was like, I got something to tell you. I'm opening up the marriage. And mum was like, yeah, and? And I was like, well, that's it. And she was like, oh, yeah, cool. And I was like, oh, no worries. And she was like, yeah, your father and I were going to do that. I'm like,
amazing.
Okay. All right. Like, yeah, she was so supportive, but a lot of my friends, not so much. I think for a lot of people, they kind of see – it's the same sort of
thing.
I
was literally
drinking,
just
right?
going to say that. Someone, they start to see the cracks in their own relationships.
Or the fact that they couldn't do it. Like when you tell someone, I don't drink anymore, they think, oh, well, I don't think I could give up alcohol. Therefore, you think you're better than me or something. Like they immediately think it's about them. And the same thing goes for an open relationship. If you're like, I'm in an open relationship, people immediately feel this fear in them. Like, well, I couldn't do that. Therefore, like, I'm just going to shit on your relationship. And it really has nothing to do with other people's relationships, honestly. Like if I could be happy monogamous, like fully monogamous, I would do it. Like, hell, you don't have to deal with that jealousy that I deal with. Great, good for you. But it works for me and my partner, and so that's why I do it. But I certainly don't think I'm better than anyone. I think it's just that other people just don't want to hear it. They don't want a bar of it. So, yeah, a lot of my friends weren't supportive. Having said that, though, a lot of my friends are now in open relationships because they're all like, well, we want to hook up with chicks and our boyfriend. Like, so, yeah, I have a lot of friends that are actually now in open relationships.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I know.
Do you hook up with girls and guys, or just guys?
No, girls and guys. I've discovered I was bisexual.
So had you not done that before?
No, I mean I'd hooked up with girls before, but
like a drunken
pash
or something.
With a girl, that's not the same. That's usually for the male gaze, if anything. Like it's 100%. Not really from a place. It's not from a place of I'm so into this girl. I don't know, like my boyfriend was like, oh, we could start having group sex maybe. And I was like, oh, absolutely not. That's something that really sexy people do and I'm not a sexy person. And he was like, no, I think you are. And I was like, oh, and he's helped me see myself in a new light. And started hooking up with women and then sleeping with women. And honestly, it is, I don't know what I've been doing. You know, putting all your eggs in the basket of men, very disappointing life choice.
I feel like that is a terrible choice. That he's helped you like discover your sexuality. And don't they say that women hit their sexual peak in their 30s anyway, because that's when you start to feel more confident in yourself and your body and what you want and what you'll tolerate. And just even just the confidence piece. I feel like when you're in your young, like your early 20s, my God, you're faking orgasms left, right and center. You're like, it's just, you're like not saying anything when you're being jackhammered to death. Like it's
oh my God, what is the jackhammering about? What male porno is telling men they love?
Honestly,
a
there needs to be sex education that is like sex etiquette for young boys.
Yeah.
And they're just 100%. Taught by a woman what not to do, what to do, and where the clit actually is.
Yeah, where the clitoris is. My God. Like, you know, I've had so many guys go down on me over the years that has been – it's been so disappointing that when it was my time in the seat to do it, I thought this is going to be really difficult because, like, you know, it's never really been great for me. Fucking nailed it on the first try. And I'm like, you guys got to up your game. 100%. It's just a matter of knowing where everything is. That's it.
It's easier just for learn. Us. It's all on the outside.
I know. It's ridiculous. So – yeah, I love sleeping with women, and yeah, it's sexual peak in your 30s, absolutely. I think as well, you start to realize that like, what is it? I think it's like when we're growing up, I think that a lot of our time, our generation was so based on like Cosmopolitan magazine was all about like how to please him. And it pisses me off because from what I've learned about men and women in sex, and because I talk about sex a lot and I've slept with a lot of people, that when a woman is into it and experiencing pleasure herself, that's when it's great for the guy. Like literally
100%.
Us taking care of our own pleasure and just showing up is all that makes it good. 100%. It's when you're in your head about it and thinking like, does he like this? Does he like this? Does he like that? It's not good because you're not there, babe. Like you're not present. And so I just like fucking hate that Cosmo taught us, oh, treat him like do this move, do that move, instead of like letting us focus on how to we can have better pleasure 100%. Because that is actually the key to pleasing them. And also I think that that kind of plays into this whole feminist revolution that we're having right now of, you know, the younger generation just being like, men ain't shit. And if I'm going to have sex with you, like it's all about me. And I think that actually women are just sort of cottoning on that, like, yeah, we want to have sex for our own purposes, not just to please a guy.
100%. And I feel like that's also when you know that you're with the right person is when they actually care about you during sex. And I feel like that is so it's the difference. It's like what makes or breaks it. And I was almost like borderline shocked when I started dating Damon about how like attentive he was to that, because I'd never had that. And at first I was like, what is up with this guy? But then I was like, hang on, he's a man. He's not a little fuckboy. And I've only ever had experience with fuckboys. I was like, is this what it could have been like for my whole life?
Yeah, what is that? Why is it that I'm only meeting these people now? Where were they when I was younger? What has happened? Because that whole fuckboy thing.
And I think it's also you don't have the confidence to maybe point them in the right direction when you're younger and probably a little bit more experienced and maybe even drunk. Like we need to go out and have drunken hookups. Like drunk sex is sloppy and messy and it's not good.
And you can't come. No. Like you can't orgasm. No. Yeah, exactly. It's just like, I'm like, what is this numb feeling down there? Like why am I bothering to do this?
I have chafe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, stop it with the jackhammering, please. So, yeah, I definitely think, actually getting sober was really helpful for my sex life, because I was so – I had so much shame around sex and I was so closed off around sex that the only time I would have sex was when I was drunk. I was like, I need a drink in order to have sex. Then I wouldn't come. It would always be bad. It'd be sloppy. Then the next day I would wake up with anxiety, not even sure if someone entered my body last night, and then – the shame spiral would happen around sex. And so I just really had done so much damage to my own self around like my sexuality. And so, yeah, getting sober was sort of like, oh, you're going to have to do this sober. And guess what? It's going to be fucking way better. And now you're really good at it and you really enjoy it. But yeah, it's been a journey.
Preach. I mean, what better could come from not drinking? If that's not a catalyst to encourage other people to stop, if you think you have a problem, then you just wait until you have sex sober.
Yeah, exactly. Have sober sex. I mean, it might be awkward at first, but trust me, it is worth it. You'll get there and you'll be like, I never want to drink again.
Do you see a future with your boyfriend now? Like, do you just foresee yourself carrying on the way that you are? You don't live together, do you?
No, we
don't. Will you ever move in together? Do you ever think about, do you want to have children? Like, do you have these kinds of conversations?
That's a great question. It's funny because after I got divorced, I was on this like warpath about like, fuck commitment and I don't want to get married again, which is true. I don't want to get married ever again. But I really had these walls up towards my partner of being like, this isn't a serious relationship and there's not going to be a future. And really, I think in many ways, I think it's because I had gotten married for the wrong reasons, absolutely. I got married because I thought, well, I didn't have any self-worth, right? And I thought this person really loves me, even though I've had a really terrible time with addiction and stuff, and he's loved me through that. So I got married because I was like, I want that feeling. Yeah. I want to feel worthy to someone. I'm worthy enough to be married. Wow, aren't I lucky? And so when I got divorced, I was separated, I sort of was like, I don't want that to happen again. And I thought that not committing to someone was just going to solve that issue. I was like, well, I don't live with you and we're in an open relationship and that solves that issue. But it definitely didn't. And I've only just realized that I still was getting all of my self-worth from my partner. I just was not, not, oh, just such an idiot to be thinking that like, oh yeah, it's the commitment part that is like the terrible part. But no, it's me not having self-worth. And now I've figured that out and I work really hard at self-love and self-worth. And now I'm kind of like chill on being committed to him. He's having a really hard time with it because he's like, this is so weird. Like hearing you say the words future together is fucking weird. He's like, I don't know.
But do you think that's more because he hasn't been in a relationship for so long?
Oh no, he loves it. He's like, I'm so glad. He's like, I finally feel embraced by you. But I think he's just like, it's really weird because you've been so resistant to it. And now I'm sort of like, oh, it wouldn't matter because, yeah. But I don't really want to live with anyone because I really do like living alone. And if I did live with him, it would have to be, like we'd have to have separate rooms. Like it's that going to bed every night thing together. Like I really want my freedom. So not rushing for that. Kids is one of those things where I'm like 90% sure it's not for me, but
Again. Swing on very, very dramatic pendulums when it comes to kids. Honestly, right. I just wish someone would tell me what to do.
Like if someone could just tell me you're going to have them, then I'd be like, great, no worries. Good, I'll have them. But if they were like, you're not going to have them, I'd be like, great. I was so on the fence, right? Because I was freaking out. Like when I was getting separated from my partner and I was like, I don't know what to do. My therapist, I was like, if I want to have kids though, like tick tock on that clock, I'm going to be 30. What am I going to do? I should probably stay with him just so I can have a baby. And she was like, no. Whoa. She was like, this is the worst thing to say. And she's like, first of all, they are doing amazing things with science. So guess what? You do not need to make a decision. She's like, you could be 50 and likely have a baby. So if you're freaking out that time's running out, don't worry about that. And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And that's why I just don't worry about it because I did feel this pressure of you're going to have to make a fucking decision. And now I'm just like, oh, yeah, if it happens, it happens. I might get to a point that I want to do it. But, like, at the same time, I struggle to take care of my cat. You know, like, I'm like the weight of this responsibility of having to feed this animal once a day and can leave her for a day at a time is so high. Could I deal with a baby forever? And people are like, until it's 18. No, bitch, I just turned, like, I'm about to turn 32 and I'm like, I need my mum to take care of me.
100%.
They're never going away.
I know. I'm the same. I even did two podcast episodes about it, one on each side of the fence. And all I got was like hundreds of DMs from people that were like, I feel the same. I was like, cool, but how do you feel about me having one?
Like, could you just tell me, should I have one or?
Although, I don't know, this week my mum called me and she was like, I just want you to know, Phoebe, that I'm ready to be a full-time grandma. So balls in your court. I was like.
See, that's the thing. If I could outsource the baby, I would have one. Like, you know, everyone's like, oh, great that Kylie Jenner's a mum. I'm like, yeah.
She has ample help.
From what I've heard, she's a hands-on mum. But I'm like, fuck, she could also afford a full-time live-in
nanny. A chef for herself, a cleaner, everything. 100%,
yeah. Like, I don't know if I'm ready to be the mum.
I give Damon the silent treatment when he doesn't take the rubbish out. Like, I could not handle having a baby in here. Yeah. Fucking shit up. Everything's messy. My sleep schedule's off. I can't go to the gym.
Yeah, I know. And also, you know, you really your life becomes the baby. Yeah. Like, there's so – you just care about that baby. But I have got some friends that are really cool mums. Like, they're not regular mums, they're cool mums, but they're just like so chill about their parenting. And it does make me think like, oh, maybe I could
me
do
too.
It if I was more like that.
Me but too. This year, I've had like several very close friends have babies this year. And I'm like, wow, you're doing it really well. Like you're still coming out. You're still bringing the baby to things. You're not really changing your life that much for the baby. You know, like as well, I think you have this kind of preconceived notion that like you're going to be held up in a nursery for the first like 3 years of the baby's life.
Yeah. Oh, but also that all that like you become, I don't know. Like I just always thought it seems really hard and it is. No one come for me. I'm not saying that it's not hard. But like I just sort of thought it was this thing that only motherly people could do. And now I have friends who are like, you would never have thought they would have a baby. And I see them with their baby and they're so chill about it.
And they're having their second. Like, I'm like, if you're game enough to go back for seconds, then it must not be that bad.
Right. Like one of my mates is just so like I remember saying something about, oh, I was like, I don't know if I could have a baby because like if you have to go to the shops, just like filling them, like having to put them in the car and then like you can't – and getting out of the car. And she was like, I never thought of that. I was like, what do you mean you never thought of that? And she's like, no, yeah. She's like, that is fucking annoying and I hate it. She's like, but I never crossed my mind. I was like, what the fuck were you thinking of? Like all I think about is the negative things. But all she talks about is like the positive things. She's like, you know, it's just so awesome having him around. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I see the benefit of it. But at the same time, I am just – I don't want to – I resent things. Like I love my cat, but sometimes I resent her for being – in my life because I'm just like, oh, you're so difficult to take care of. Again, not difficult at all. Not difficult no, at all. It. She is so easy to take care of. But I just like, I'm just like, that's responsibility. And yeah, I can 100% see that that could seep out to a child and I'm freaking out that that could happen. So
I'm looking forward to us doing another episode together in like 10 years time to see where we both are.
Okay. Yeah. Like, okay. Out of the two of us, which one do you think is more likely to have a kid?
I mean, I've got severe endometriosis, so it's probably not me.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Take one for the team.
I'll cop that. All right, fine, great. Well, call it's decided.
Phoebe.
I'm having
call
a baby.
And then it's two.
Well, at least that decision has been made now. I at least know I'm going to have kids, so that's great, yeah. Easy. Oh I mean, I didn't know I would gain so much from this.
Well, we have spoken for an hour, and it's honestly felt like 5 minutes.
Has it's it literally really been an hour?
Fucking yeah, hell. So
see, this is what happens. Even if we're sober, the conversation just
literally,
goes on, right?
My sparkling water. I love that for us.
Yeah, beautiful.
Well, to yeah, wrap it up, that. Then, what is one mm-hmm. piece of advice you would like to leave all of the listeners with?
Oh, that's so hard. Look, stop. Oh, it all comes from you. That's it. Like everything in your life, everything good comes from within you. So focus all of your energy on yourself, not outside things. Just keep focusing on yourself. You are magic personified. You've just got to find it in yourself. And once you do, everything else in your life will fall into line.
I love that. I love that so much. It's even like I was saying to, oh, who was I talking? I can't remember who it was the other day, but they were complaining about their job. And I was like, get another one or go and study something or like you have to make the change. You can't just sit here and keep whinging to me about how much you hate your job.
And the more that you like, the more you love yourself and put time into yourself and start to care about yourself, the more you will just have such a low tolerance for anything that doesn't make yeah. you happy. Like it is remarkable how if you just start focusing on yourself, you just take off. Like you're unstoppable. And for so much of my life, I just considered all these outside influences that I was like, that will make me happy. That will make me happy. And it never did because I just wasn't happy in, it's in here, in your heart, focus on yourself. Like, and people always say like how meditate is the number one thing and affirmations start from there, but you can do it. And that is the way to go.
I love that. And just quickly before you leave, can you please tell everybody where they can find your podcast and your Instagram?
Sure. You can find my Instagram. It is Bianca Ismailovsky, and you can find my podcast because I'm going to start recording again. It's called Damsel Undistressed. And if you're in Melbourne, you can come see my show, Can't Be Tamed, at the Comedy Festival next year.
I'm going to come. Yay. I can probably fly there.
Oh my God. Oh my God, please.
I will definitely be there. It'll be like the reunion.
Oh, you should come
times.
And do a show.
Yeah, I will.
You should be doing a show. Yeah.
Guys,
I
heard it here first. Come to Melbourne. We've got shows lined up for next year.
Yeah,
100%, I'll put all of the links too in this week's show notes.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye. Thank you so much.